Amos chapter 8, would you stand with me as we read just a few verses together and get right into the message this morning. Thank you, son, for letting us preach in your church and excited about being able to do so. And we just want to be a blessing. Amos chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Now stop right there. Who's sending the famine in the land here? God is. But now hang on now. A famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, don't miss this, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Look up here real quick. You hear this man of God week in and week out. He'll have somebody come in like myself, and what's that guy's name tonight? But it's week after week. God put him here for that. God gives him messages that go directly to you to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for after a period of time, something from every book in this Bible that you call your own personal Bible. I want to just spend a little time with it today and try to help you and me and those that are visiting with the visitors. Thank you for being here today. Here's the title of the message, simple: When You Cannot Hear God Anymore. When you cannot hear God anymore. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your book, Lord. Every page, every word. And Lord, the correct way, the righteous way, the perfect way. And yet, Lord, you've warned us over and over throughout your book of some dangerous areas that we need to stay clear of. Lord, help me today. Be a blessing to the people of God, Trinity Baptist Church here, for all the visitors that have come. And Lord, help me to bring honor and glory to your name. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, when you can't hear God anymore, that's a powerful title. There is a famine in the land, and I don't speak of America, but the world for a matter of fact. There is a famine in the land, even our land in which you and I are citizens today. It's in our churches. It's in our lives. It's in our families. Even this morning as I'm up here speaking. And I believe everyone here today would love in many ways to see some of the days of yesteryear, if you will. I'm getting older, be 70, how old, Miss Audie, too? Something like that. Anyhow, it don't matter anymore. Coming up. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. Joined my military in Vietnam, come back, made it back, amen? And the thing about it, I've loved being married to my wife. How many years? I know you're always asking how many this, how many that. That's because she remembers and I don't. Amen. But there is a famine in our land today. It's in our churches. It's in our lives this morning. I wrote this down, and not to get back at my son by any means, but listen, I wrote this down thinking of the measure. There's a continual reminder about our faithfulness and soul winning, tithing, separation, and I went, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, from this man right here. Week in and week out. Look up here. I didn't put any names on this list, but I could have. I know the people that have already left over a period of time, and they're gone. God, I would to God they'd come back. But they haven't. Don't be the next one to leave for the wrong reasons. And I hope you'll listen on purpose this morning that'll keep you right where you are, even though some of you found different seats. You've already messed me up. I'm looking to see where you are and you're missing. But there is a famine in our land and even in our own city here for that matter. And I believe everyone here today would like to have a nation that is sold out to God, but that's not the case. The days where prayer was heard and meant in our nation's capital, in our homes, throughout our land, and certainly in our churches. The day when a man's word was his seal, if you will. Now, there's a time that I grew up and you shook a man's hand and was agreeing with something. That's a done deal. And I hope that that's the way it is today. I don't do a lot of shaking anymore other than my whole body. But that's about it. That's called old age. But there was a day where prayer was heard. It was meant in our nation's capital, our homes, our land, our churches. The day when a man's word was his seal. The day when the Bible was important to all of us, not just a few of us. Some only used it in times of death when it invaded their family and tragedy struck around them and they had to bury a loved one. But for the most part, those days are gone. So what are we to do today? We need to keep trusting God, no doubt about it. And let me tell you why we need to keep trusting God. God never changes. Aren't you glad somebody never changes? But a changeless God in changing times has been there from Adam of old until today. He remains God. His word remains His word, and we are to obey it. God wants you and I to read the Bible, no doubt about that. The problem is many do not read it on a regular basis, nor obey its truths or principles for their lives. Even after sitting week in and week out, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it sometimes just for a pastor and a preacher, and having been one for years, I know how he feels. You're thinking, what else can I do? What else can I say? What other message do you have for me, God, that might penetrate the thick hearts and minds of our people today? He wants us to read the Bible. He wants us to obey the Bible. In our text today, and if you haven't turned there, and if I haven't given it to you again, Amos chapter 8. If you'll hold on there, I will be there sooner or later. But in our text today, Israel became so very sinful. Don't miss the text here. They became wicked. They became rebellious. They became ungrateful. They became disobedient while God's word was spoken by the prophets of old. So in other words, the prophets of old were standing up like this preacher does from week to week, like I'm doing today, and proclaiming the word of God, the truth of God, the things that are needed for you and I to obey God and to please God, and they weren't listening. But it's not much different today. Can I stop here for a moment? I got my little yellow pad out last night, and you'll notice that there's not anything on it but the front page. And it's because God, as God can do, added to the message a little bit. I put down here, talking about our church, there is a continual reminder about our faithfulness in soul winning, separation, and tithing. Is it on? I don't think I got but two amens out of that. That's what's wrong with our churches today. Where is the true faithfulness? Where are the new workers? Where is the soul winning? Where is the tithing? Where is the separation that old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist church used to practice all the time? Don't get quiet on me this early in the message. I'll just go longer and longer, amen. But I wrote that down last night. I couldn't get up from my desk without just writing that on a piece of yellow paper. Let me ask you a question before I move on. And this is evangelist speaking, okay? I'm no longer the pastor. Evangelist is always told to talk about tithing and talk about missions and everything. So here it goes. How's your tithing doing? Took up an offering a while ago. Was your tithe in it? When's the last time you've been on soul winning? These are important things to God, not the pastor. These are things that are required by holy God for my life and your life to please that holy God, so that that holy God who is pleased can bless you and you and you and you, all of you, bless me, so that we can do more for God. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good. I don't have to go to school for it. I don't have to buy new books for it. I don't have to pay the preacher for it, even though we have to give him a salary once a week. Amen. Y'all thought you was just going to get somebody to give you a little Bible verse today, didn't you? I hadn't even started yet. But I had to get that off. I just did. God made me write that down. He took my arm last night, and I didn't want to write it down, but there it is. There's a continual reminder about our faithfulness and soul winning, tithing, and separation in our services. And it comes from our preacher, and there's a reason for that. It's to help you. I believe you believe yourselves that God would have us to read the Bible in our homes daily. They would have us to obey the words therein. And even in our text today, let's read Amos chapter 8 right through there real quick and get some things out of here. Amos chapter 8, verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord God, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Did y'all read that in your Bible? Say amen. How would you like God to quit coming by? And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. Verse 3, saith the Lord God, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Stop right there. If you were to stop and think about all of the diseases and all of the wars and all the different things that we have been through, just in America, going overseas in different places or going to places where the sickness here in our state was for the last few years, and the thing, all this has been repeated over and over throughout the Bible. Verse 4, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and shekel great and falsifying the balances by the sea? In other words, when are we going to move on? When are we going to move on past this? Verse 7, the Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. By the way, the Lord loves us to work, amen. Verse 8, shall not the land tremble from this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? It shall rise up wholly as a flood. It shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the... How many believe God's in control? Now, I read that in a hurry, but you can go back and read it later. You can read the rest of it. In fact, go ahead and just read through the whole book. You'll find out God's in complete control. Look up here. And do you know He can wipe us out? Have y'all heard how many thousands of people were killed in the storm, in the storms that have gone around our, in fact, for that matter, the entire world? The people that were killed, talking about Vietnam, people that were killed in Vietnam while we were there. Are y'all listening? World War I, World War II, and you could go on and on and on. And God, listen, God was aware of all of them. Now, what He tried to accomplish, you and I may never know throughout eternity, and that's perfectly fine with me. But I want to be right with God. I want to be faithful to God. I want to do what God wants me to do according to this book, whether it's in the book of Amos or the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, etc., etc. He has things that He wants you and I to do, to obey, to accomplish for Him. Our preacher's been trying to get you to read through your Bible. God wants you and I to read the Bible. And in our text today, as I just mentioned, there was so much wickedness going on, God got a hold of them. God began to emphasize some things to them that they needed to get back to and get away from. God's speaking to them always of His will and His righteousness and His holiness. But the children of Israel in that day chose to ignore God's word, and His judgment was pronounced. Look at verse 11 there. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, a famine of bread, a famine in the land, not of a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of, don't miss it, underline if you don't already have it, of hearing the what? How many believe God can do it again? You realize that you have a Bible, most of you in here got a Bible this morning? But wouldn't it be terrible that God took away you the ability to even know what it meant? Are y'all listening? Do you understand God's still alive? And God's will be carried out. And so when you hear the man of God get up week after week and he preaches and he's studied and he's ready, and not only do you need the amens, but you need the follow through. Tithe. See, I can get away with tithing now because I'm in evangelism, okay? All the preachers want the evangelists to come in and at least mention tithe two or three times. Missions two or three times, et cetera, et cetera. Shouldn't have to do that in this church, should we? You hear it from an evangelist week after week. You know what I'll do is to ours take a roll call real quick and have those who tithe this morning stand up. You ever seen how many went like this? Even your mother. Yeah. No, here's what she did. She sat back here going like this. And then she got lower and lower. Do you understand what God wants to do with Trinity Baptist Church in Wills Point, Texas? He wants us to keep doing what we're doing, but even more so. He wants us to continue being faithful to Him, to His Word, to the Book of God, to the will of God. And that's going to help you individually. That's going to help you as a family. It's going to help you in your business if you're a businessman or on your job. It's going to help you tremendously because God's going to get behind it with His righteousness, get behind it with His power, get behind it with His blessings, and He is going to take care of you and your family. This was a great famine of the Word of God back in that day. But may I say this to you? There's a famine today in our land. There's no doubt about it. There's a famine today. I wrote this down years ago, the Great Irish Potato Famine. You wouldn't know what it was unless you looked it up. It took me forever to find out years ago. But the Great Irish Potato Famine, called the Potato Blight, from 1845 to 1852, saw 1 million people die and another million immigrate to other countries. Big numbers. We're talking about back in 1845 through 1852. I don't know what all has happened between that time and today. In 1984, Michael Birick, a BBC reporter, reported from Ethiopia's famine that 8 million people were affected and 1 million people had died. Now we had the fear of the COVID. I wrote that in here a while back. And it's still around, by the way. Around the globe. In fact, it's everywhere. But how is that related to a famine? Because it shuts down everything. It shuts down the normal economic flow throughout our land and the world for that matter. And it puts demands on the medical field and on the home life. It casts fear among many, especially the elderly or the ones who can't take care of themselves. Here's some names you'll not even know. In fact, I don't even know them to this day. I just wrote them down. Mayo Zedong. Good name, isn't it? Sound like Carl Ogden. Mao Zedong, Chinese founder of the People's Republic of China, had millions starved to death on purpose. A nationally caused famine that God allowed. Are y'all with me? It's called the greatest mass murder. He was called the greatest mass murderer of all times. He had 45 million people murdered, starved to death, if you will. From 1958, listen to the short period of time, to 1962. There are literally hundreds of other famines that I could speak of, but no time. The 10 northern tribes of Israel who were under God's judgment at the time that we read a moment ago, later ceased to exist. Look it up. And they were never found or heard from again, even to this day. Why? Because they wouldn't hear God's word. Why? They wouldn't hear it when they could, nor when they should, or done what they should. That sound like anybody in here this morning? Look up here. I know you hear a lot of it, and I'm going to repeat it again two or three times probably. I want you to be a blessed family. I want you to be a blessed individual. How many of you want to be blessed of God? You can't be blessed of God without the tithe. Belongs to God. Try taking it a few times, see what you're missing. And it won't be a pair of pliers either. There'll be other things that happen that you don't understand, and hopefully you'll go back to a message you heard your preacher preach from time to time, or this old preacher here mentioned today. I don't know. But they ceased to exist in that day. Israel, that group, because they wouldn't hear God's word when they could, nor when they should. But be reminded that in this day, God's word is still His will. God's word is still His command. God's word is still His life for us. I don't know about you, but I like being blessed. And I'm nobody. I just want to honor God with my life. And that's hard to do sometimes when you're an old short, fat guy that can't do much of anything. But look up here. I can tithe. I can give to worldwide missions. I can give every time they need a little bit of help on the bus ministry. I can help an old lady get to a meeting. You watch, you'll be telling them about the driveway when I leave here today. By the way, lady, don't you stay home because you can't go for lack of $25, $30 because Miss Odds got that much. I'm serious. We need each other. God needs us, and we need Him. But isn't it sad that we choose not to hear today? Not to hear when we should hear and when we can hear? The question is this, has there ever been a time past or even present today, if you will, now or future to come, where you believe you can live or exist without hearing God's Word? No! I said a moment ago that I would explain more about the hearing of the Word of God, that the prophet Amos said there would be a famine in so doing. And hearing always has to do with spiritual discernment, inner knowledge, understanding, if you will, doing, honoring God. I believe we're all reminded of what James said. Do not turn there for lack of time. Write it down. Go back to it later. But in the book of James said in his little epistle there, chapter 1, verse 22, 23, and 24. I'll read it to you. Listen. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Think about that. You're sitting here listening to this old preacher today, and you listen to your preacher week in and week out, and others, and that guy that likes to cut up and have a lot of fun. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He's going to be here tonight, I think. You'll get something out of this. You'll just listen. Amen. But if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You ever done that? You look yourself in the mirror, you go out, and when you get somewhere, there's a glass door, your hair's all like this, you know, or your jacket's down here like this, and you're going, you know. God wants you to straighten up. He wants you to, yes, He does. God wants you to look good. I look good. But for many today, God's Word enters our physical ear, but not our spiritual ear. And so it's forgotten, unfulfilled, or not obeyed, or all the above. If we're ever going to see our nation turn back to God in a bigger way than it is today, everyone who heareth the words of God must obey the words of God. And that goes for the local church. It must continue in the house of God with the people of God now, more than ever before. Look up here. We got a good congregation. And by the way, you that are visiting, this ain't all of them. They're back in buildings back here. We got all kinds of renegade kids back there and all kinds of stuff going on back there. Even renegade teachers, I think. But they're all back there. It's a good church. It believes in the book, the Bible. And we use the King James Bible, and I'm proud of being able to use it. It taught me everything I need to know. Hello? But I'm just glad you're here. You're looking for a good church. Let me just get this in here. It won't cost you a dime. Won't charge the preacher extra. But if you're looking for a good church that preaches truth, it's right here. Amen. You get these old guys out of the way and get the younger ones in here. They got it together. They're doing a great work. Keep it up. You younger couples, get behind the man of God, the woman of God, even her kid. Ain't got but one to worry about now. The other one's in college. But it's got to continue, week in and week out. For many today, hear me, don't miss this part. For many today, God's Word enters our physical ear, but not our spiritual ear. And what happens? It's soon forgotten. What happens? It's soon unfulfilled. What happens? It's just never obeyed. If we ever go back, if we are ever going to go see our nation turn back to God, it's got to start, as I mentioned earlier, in the heart of everyone who heareth the Word of God. It's got to continue. It's got to be a daily chore on your behalf. Now hear this, without the hearing of God's Word, there is no faith for you and I to live by. Without the hearing of the Word of God, there is no faith for us to live by. You know what Romans 10:17 says? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How powerful and revealing is that truth? Again, it's more than just hearing as it is spoken in the message, or even while reading the Word of God. The word for hearing here in the book of Amos, I looked it up, is the Hebrew word shama, however you want to pronounce it, which means to hear with conviction, to hear intelligently, even accompanied by the expectation of obedience from us and blessings of God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But it's the truth. How many messages have you and I heard over all of the years of our life and we did not obey? Stop and think about that just for a second. I ain't going to stay there long. Bunch of them, isn't it? I bet there's some here that didn't tithe today. So I don't always have money to tithe. I always have money to tithe. And by the way, I can tithe myself, but that ain't going to last very long. But to tithe money, I can just put some money in the bucket or whatever we got. And you say, well, all I got's a dime. Well, maybe that dime will go a lot farther than you think it will. If by faith you're doing it for Him and to Him. Makes a difference, doesn't it? It's not a church picking up money, even though I love its air conditioning. Amen? Yeah. Smells pretty good in here. Yeah, even you smell good today. Man, that's cool. You've been putting on that girl's stuff, ain't you? That's what you get for sitting on the front row. I love him. He's just a mess. Ladies and gentlemen, faith is our life as a child of God. Hebrews 11:6 declared, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe, that's have faith, that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible says, whatsoever not of faith is sin. Hello? I believe faith promise offering kind of goes in there. I believe tithing goes in there. I believe soul winning goes in there. I believe separation from the world. I could go on and on and on. Bible also says, whatsoever not of faith is sin. We all know faith comes by hearing. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. The only way you're going to get saved is to believe the Word of God. Believe that you can call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And if you made it in your heart, and He knows, and you should know, you can be saved and born again here today forever. Amen. Ain't no, this, when you get saved the right way, ain't no getting saved over and over and over and over and over. When you get saved and you know it, and you went through the Bible way, and you follow the Lord, baptism has nothing to do with salvation other than to show that you have been saved. It don't save you. But boy, once you get all that out of the way and you're baptized, you get up, you walk around just like somebody got a new suit on for a while, and then all that pride goes away. But the thing about it is you know you're saved forever. And by the way, you're never going to have a complete Christian life until you are, because there's no such thing. So, no hearing, no faith. Amen. I like what James said. I can't get all these in this morning, but other scriptures here, James 2, chapter 2, verse 17 through 20, it says that even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Hello? Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I want you to think within yourself for just a moment. I'm really close to being done. How much faith do I have? Now, let me back up. I don't want you to doubt anything. But if you know, you know that you know, you know. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you got that settled. I'm not talking about going to church. Not talking about putting all money in the bucket. I'm talking about knowing that you know that you know that you're saved. Knowing that you died immediately. I've told this before, I'll tell it again. I'm old, I get away with it. I've done stillborn children births. I've done my mom, my dad, my cousin, etc., 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 etc. over the years. And as best I know, the ones that I had done, not the little ones, they're already, God take care of them little ones, stillborn children. But the others, best I know, they were saved. I don't know they were for sure, but the best I knew, they were. I didn't preach them into heaven, but I may have made comment that I was told they were saved, dot, 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 such and such church. And I may have known it from our church, which makes it a whole lot easier for me to preach, by the way. But my question to you, right here, right now, do you know? Do you know? We could go on and on and on. There's just thousands and thousands of truths in the Bible that we could go to. But just enough to get you to thinking, am I saved? Now, if you doubt, there may be some things you're doing you ought not be doing. But you need to clean that up too. And get back to knowing that you know that you know that you're saved. We all mess up. Just ask Miss Oddie. She's married to me. No. But look up here. Don't you want to live right? Don't you want to be right? Don't you want to be a testimony to others? Because that's what this is all about. The Lord Jesus wants to use each and every one of you. It doesn't really matter what age, as long as you can speak. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If that's the way it is, and there is no service unto God and obedience to the Word of God, then that faith is what we call dead faith. What are you doing for the Lord? We talked about tithe, we talked about soul winning, we talked about other things. What are you doing for the Lord? Well, I'm here, preacher, and that's a good thing. But if you're not careful, that thing will be taken away, then this thing will be taken away, then that thing will be taken away. Next thing you know, you're missing church. You're still saved, but you're missing church. You can't miss church and survive. We said, number one, no hearing, no faith. No faith, no believing. It's impossible according to the Word of God. I have not time to read it all. You can read it later, Romans chapter 10. Just read through it. No faith, no believing. No faith, no believing, no salvation. Believing, conversion brings about what we call justification in the eye of God, sanctification, separation, sin-free living as Christians. How's your life this morning? How are you living? How's the inward part? What does the inward part speak to you in your own brain, your own mind? I don't want to get into everything because there's never any time to do that. But I do know this. There are homes that are infected by the wrong kind of television. Wrong kind of music. Wrong kind of shows. Hello. Now you got that stinking telephone you carry around. You can get anything you want on it. Sooner or later, if you ain't careful, it's going to bite you. And it won't be God biting you. It'd be the devil getting a hold of you first. And then whatever's left, maybe God will come down and sweep you up and try to repair your life. Wouldn't it be good just to walk out here and live for Him? Be a soul winner. Be a helper. Help somebody to get to church that can't get there. I mean, just come see me and Miss Audrey. We got all kinds of old people around us. And we're old. So see, some of you young people can bring young people around you. Get them in here. Get them to hear the Word of God. Get them saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you will. I know if I told you I was done, you wouldn't believe a word of it, but I'm done. Stay with me for the last word here. God is warning us as He did His own people in the book of Amos. When are we going to listen? When will we hear? When will we obey? You do remember, as we started out, they didn't listen. They didn't hear. Those 10 northern tribes disappeared over time. I don't have time to develop that. Read it on your own. And God chose to be silent to all of His people later, hear me, for 400 years. Did you hear what I said? It's the book of God. You can read it through the book of Amos, a small book in the Old Testament. For 400 years. Can you imagine God shutting you and I down for 400 years and you don't hear the Holy Spirit speaking? You don't hear the Word of God? Are y'all listening? I don't know about you, but I love my book, my Bible. Got several of them. I used to have several of them. I got grandkids now. They've got several of mine, but that's okay too. There ought to be a Bible in every home. There ought to be a Bible laying just about everywhere. There ought to be somebody that can take it and share it with another young teenager, another young adult. Be careful here. Even older people. Notice I'm looking at the ceiling. But we're all responsible. I don't have time to develop that last thought, but here it is in a nutshell. We ain't careful, God's going to shut us down. Everybody always wants something for nothing. We got God. And for the most part, we have salvation. We've been saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But if not, this is your day. This is the day to settle it once and for all. And just come to the altar of God and say, you know what, I've been playing church. I thought I was saved, but I want to make sure I am. And it won't take just a few minutes out of your time. Open book of the Bible, ladies with ladies, men with men for that matter, children or teenagers, maybe we spread them out a little bit. But you need to know that you know that you know when you walk out that door today that you know you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you're waiting on either death or the rapture to come. And one of them's going to come. Sometime sooner than you think. Had a kid brother. Just went through that. What do you call that thing up there? A little bit storm? Hurricane. Here a while back, about a year ago, I got a call. One of my brothers is dead from drugs and alcohol. I buried him out between mom and dad out in the country west of Fort Worth. This is my other brother who had a lot of difficulties going on, took a gun, shot himself. He lived through that, and I try to stay in touch as much as I can. This is what goes on all around us. I don't know about you, but I haven't picked up a gun and tried to shoot myself lately. And if you have, come see me. Go see him. Or if you're a lady, go see her or whatever. Don't let that go on and on. Because sooner or later, you will. I said sooner or later, you will. I don't know about you. I'm a pretty good thing. I ain't going to shoot myself. Got enough people running around out there that want to do it. I'm not going to do it myself. Some of you look like you're so unhappy in the Lord. You ought to be happy you're married to that guy. You got that beautiful baby. Looks just like you. Aren't you glad? Yeah. And look at what you got. Don't be looking around. She's blessed, isn't she? Yes, she is. And so are you. And so are you. And no doubt you. Now, I don't know about this yet. I haven't quite got there yet. All I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is history repeats itself. You hear me? And even God's history repeats itself. When you hate for God to shut down Trinity Baptist Church due to a lack of funds, why can't we find a van? And why can't we find the money? We got some people got money just laid up waiting for themselves to die so the kids can fight over it. That's what I'm doing. I'll make my kids fight. No, I'm not going to do it. There's enough money in this church right here right now to buy a new van. Don't be going. You was going like this, so I said that and you went. But there is. And I don't know about you, but them bus kids are more important than us old people. And God wants everybody to save, no doubt about it. But wouldn't it be good if we had them vans? Somebody bound to have that money to take care of that.